Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 3rd of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for joining us today. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller back on the news today, including concern about Indiana farmland loss. And we have a new tool to talk about for pork traceability. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calling for unsettled weather taking hold. That means more rain and storm chances. And Tuesday, corn went a little higher. Beans back on the plus side. Arlen Suderman has analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Protecting Indiana's farmland and more on biosecurity and traceability. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Yesterday, we told you about the report released by the Indiana State Department of Agriculture that showed just under 350,000 acres of farmland lost in Indiana between 2010 and 2022.
I would say the data is significant in my mind. We should be concerned as Hoosiers.
That's Republican State Representative Kendall Culp, who represents House District 16 in Northwest Indiana. The Rensselaer farmer authored the bill asking ISDA for the data regarding lost farmland. He put his math skills to the test and says if you divide the number of acres by the size of the average farm in Indiana.
And we're losing 106 farms per year at this rate. That's what that works out to be. And that's substantial too. You know, 94% of Indiana's farms are family farms. So just say 100 of those are going to be family farms that are no longer going to be in existence every year. So these are real people. These are people that are doing business in their local community, that are supporting the food chain. And so it becomes very personal, I think, as we look forward. And again, these numbers do not include renewable energy conversion.
So what's next? Culp says the legislature should all agree that this is a problem that needs a solution, or at least a majority should. Then it's time to start looking for solutions, because this is a food security issue.
If ag is important to our communities, then I think we have to look at not only how can we protect the farmland, but how can we protect the farmer? And so I'm going to be digesting this information on a personal level and coming up with some thoughts and ideas, and I certainly welcome input on that. So how can we protect the farmer? How can we say to them that you're important, that we know that there's a lot of struggles, there's a lot of competition out here for your land, and instead of leasing it for another purpose possibly, you know, what kind of incentive would it take for you to keep it in production to produce food? I think that's really going to be an important question we're going to have to find an answer to.
Culp throws out some potential incentives and discusses some of the issues farmers will face at the State House this year, like property taxes, in the full HAT interview at HoosierAgToday.com. You've been hearing a lot lately about biosecurity and traceability because of foreign animal diseases impacting the livestock industry. CJ Miller reports on a new tool that's available for those in the pork industry.
It's an online platform that brings the capabilities of tracking movements of pigs.
And that's Chad Martin, Director of Strategic Outreach with Indiana Pork, talking about AgView. And that platform is free for pork producers.
Will allow us to identify where a pig individually or as a group of pigs in a shipment have been brought from and where they're headed to thereafter and how much time they've spent in all those different locations.
AgView is supported by the National Pork Board and funded by the Pork Checkoff. And with the busy show pig season underway, including the Indiana State Fair in August, Martin says the platform can provide real-time health status updates, plus sight and pig movement data from participating farms to state animal health officials in the event that there's a confirmed case of a foreign animal disease among swine in the U.S.
So if you think about the journey of a show pig from California, they may have stopped at a couple of different locations as a resting place and maybe co-mingled at a show here and there between then and getting to the exposition. If we can monitor those movements, we can better able to understand where those disease pressures are located, where to contain those diseases, and then eventually hopefully eradicate them before they spread.
The biggest concern among those in the pork industry is that African swine fever is brought into the U.S.
There was a study that was recently conducted that released the numbers of $79 billion of economic loss over a 10-year period if African swine fever were to infiltrate the country. So what we need to do and be proactive is to understand measures how to contain that disease before it spreads to that magnitude.
Learn more about the AgView platform at agview.com. You can also find that link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
If you would like to begin or expand a conservation practice on your farm operation and earn some revenue as well, then you might want to enroll in the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund, and he says it improves the long-term resiliency of your farm operation.
We're working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. We're not only looking at the soil health benefits, but the farm benefits from reducing fertilizer rates and then the carbon sequestration process that we are implementing there from reducing the tillage, which is reducing the amount of diesel fuel that is burnt and then the carbon that is being sequestered in the soil.
Hear more about the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund in our next podcast. Check out their website, TheOutcomesFund.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at the setup today, we're going to be getting a little more unsettled, and that's going to lead to some moisture. We're definitely going to need the umbrella as we head out to 4th of July events tomorrow and even anything that goes into Friday. Let's talk through it here. It's warm and sunny to start here today. Clouds will be increasing at midday, and I think this afternoon we're going to be seeing some pop-up shower and thunderstorm action over the Hoosier State. That fills in a little bit more as we move through the overnight, maybe even seeing some stronger thunderstorms depending on where you are at. For Independence Day tomorrow and for Friday the 5th, we see on-again, off-again rain and thunderstorm potential with several waves of activity coming through. Each one will raise the humidity in the atmosphere, and we're also seeing some warm air try and take control here. Combined from later today through Friday night, I think we're looking at half to two-inch rainfall totals with coverage at 100% of Indiana. Going into Saturday, we clear out. I think Saturday turns out pleasant, honestly. Partly sunny, slightly cooler, less humid. For Sunday, we see a mix of clouds and sunshine, but humidity values starting to come back up. Monday, Tuesday of next week, we're unsettled. I think we see pop-up showers and thunderstorms, probably 40 to 50% coverage both days. Not big rains, quarter to half inch, but still, we have to watch for those. And then Wednesday, Thursday, we see better shower and thunderstorm action. Combine those days, I think we can see anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch with coverage around 90% of the state. Plenty of moisture next week. Continues to give good options for growing and developing crops. However, as I take a look at the end of the 10-day forecast window, I'm seeing a big upper-level ridge starting to take control in the plains. And so that tells me we're still on track for seeing a hotter, drier activity moving into our neck of the woods for late next week, but definitely the week after next. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Higher corn and beans off the highs, though, and wheat continues to sell off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'll have settlements momentarily. First, market analysis. I grab that at the end of trade from Arlen Suderman of Stone X. Arlen gains on Tuesday in corn and soybeans. Those gains, though, as the session wore on, wavered, falling back, and in the case of corn, falling back to about even. Soybean strength, though, also wavered. What was happening?
Let's go to the basis of that strength, first of all, being the declining crop ratings and the fact that prices had reached lower chart objectives, and so end users seeing that as a value play started to buy, extend some coverage, fund managers riding that short ride down, taking some profits. But we also have, and frankly, we're still seeing that in the soy oil market, and that's one of the factors providing support as well. But we have a lot of corn and soybeans left to be sold on both sides of the equator by the U.S. farmer and by the Brazilian farmer on rallies. That makes sustaining a rally pretty difficult at this point with all that farmer grain hanging over the market. And I think that was a problem here today as well. Declining crop ratings may be supportive, but we're still looking at crop ratings that are very near the long-term average for this time of year. And so while we have some forecasts that suggest hotter and drier conditions ahead, it's really tough to really sustain that momentum right now until we get more confidence in that.
And of course, the reason the crop ratings are just now getting to about average is that initially they were really, really good.
Yeah, they really started at a high point this year. So while they've tumbled through the month of June, they started from a very high level. Those crop ratings tumbling because of a combination of excessive moisture in some areas in the Midwest and lack of moisture in other areas of the Midwest. Many of those areas that have seen the dry weather are seeing improving chances of rain and moisture going forward, while the intensity of the rains in the saturated areas are easing somewhat. It does look like as we get later into July, we do bring back some heat and those drier chances.
Have you noticed recently corn going under $4? Scary looking.
Yeah, and that's raising a lot of concerns, and particularly when you look at the December contract and how it's plummeted through support levels. Although the December contract has reached some areas of chart objectives, and that's been one of the reasons for the consolidation.
Soybean market, it has, as we've detailed, shown some strength this week, both Monday and Tuesday. Is there anything to hang the hat on going forward as far as additional higher moves?
Yeah, much of the weakness that we had coming out of Friday's USDA reports is really on the corn fundamentals with higher acreage and higher stocks than expected. The soybeans, we did see some bearish and some bullish, and you add it all together, and it really doesn't leave us that much different than what we were before the reports. And that is, we have adequate supplies, but those supplies are not big enough to keep us from being vulnerable to a weather problem should it develop. Should that be in the growing season ahead, with August being the critical month for development of the crop, or might it be La Nina taking hold before the South American growing season? So those risks are still there should they develop.
And I was going to ask you about that growing season weather and what the near to sh- to longer-term forecasts are looking like right now, according to your sources?
Yeah, still expectations that we'll see a La Nina developed by this fall and into the winter for the Northern Hemisphere, but that also means impacting Southern Hemisphere production, and that typically means drought for Argentina and also stretching into southern Brazil. So that's something we're going to have to be watching closely. As we get into the higher production areas of Brazil and the center west areas, the correlations aren't real strong. Some years we can get really good yields. Some years that drought in the south can spread into the north. So we'll have to see how this particular La Nina develops.
Chicago wheat continues weak. Certainly a trend, just keeps chopping lower.
Certainly does. We did have a big rally day yesterday, but really kind of overdid it. We don't really have the support of fundamentals right now. We're overpriced on the world market, and we've got a lot of wheat being sold against it right now, being in the gut slot of harvest currently. Farmers getting pretty good yields, especially in the southern plains. It's more of a Kansas City factor impacting Chicago, where yields have been very impressive in some of the drier areas through the growing season. And so farmers realizing that they better get those extra bushels sold when they get opportunities to sell rallies.
Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX and StoneX.com. Settlements now. September corn ends on Tuesday up a penny at 408. December 421 and a quarter, up 0.75 cents. August beans 1150 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. September up 3 1/4. Novi goes to 1113 even, gaining 2 cents. And September wheat 581, that was a loss of 9 1/4. The meats higher. August live cattle 185.10, up 82, and August lean hogs 89.77, up $1.60. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.